Well, today, as we continue with our message, we are finishing a message series today. We've been talking about forward motion. And you know, we could keep talking about forward motion for a long, long time. We know that we're saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But we also know that we can always grow, can't we? We can always grow. We can always move forward in our lives of faith as we learn to trust and thank Jesus more fully in times of joy and in times of hardship. We can always move forward in our lives of repentance and good works as we examine ourselves, as we see what we've done wrong, kind of like we did just a few minutes ago when we confessed our sins to God, and then as we seek to do good and life-giving works in the lives of our families and our neighbors and our communities. We can always grow, right? Amen? Yes. But we're ending this series today because, of course, we have more good things to talk about. We always do. Next week, we're talking about mental health as we have Cars and Caring, and we're talking a little bit about that and how Jesus answers our needs, our hurts, even when it comes to our minds and spirits. The following week, we install Somo, one of our young men, as a vicar. That is a student pastor here at church. We'll be talking about that. And then after that, we'll see where we go. But rest assured, in a way, every week and every message that we share here at Southwest is about forward motion. Because you know what happens is that as God's word comes to us, God's word gets into us. It convicts us. It leads us to repentance. It comforts us with the good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and God's word always leads us on to new lives of faith in him. That's a good thing. So for our final message in this series, we're talking about moving forward in prayer. And remember that as we've been going through this message series of forward motion, kind of the image we've had in our minds is the image of a runner running around a track, always moving forward. That's our race, always moving forward until the day we meet Jesus. And even as we continually come back around that track to the starting place, we come back always to baptism, to repentance, to forgiveness in Christ. And so this is the image we have when we think of our lives of faith. And today we're going to see, where does our strength to run come from? Because the truth about running is that sometimes it's hard. It can be really hard. Here's how our scripture reading today starts. Paul says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." And this is the Apostle Paul. He's looking forward to future glory. He's looking forward to a day when everything is going to be good. He's looking forward to this promised new beginning in Christ sometime off in the future, because the truth is that right now, sometimes is kind of hard. We experience present suffering, as he says. We experience present suffering as we run this race and as we follow Jesus. You know, we experience this in all sorts of ways. We experience present suffering in our lives as we sometimes turn away from God and his goodwill for our lives, as we sin against others, and also as others sin against us, right? We experience present suffering as we're hurt by idolatry, as we're hurt by addiction, as we're hurt by overwork, we're hurt by broken relationships, we're hurt by hatred and anger, we're hurt by impurity, we're hurt by selfishness, we're hurt by envy and lies. You know, it's not easy to run this race, is it? It's kind of like, well, I've told you all before, I used to be a runner, and I haven't gone jogging for a while, but I used to do it a lot. And I'll say it was good for me, it was always a good thing to do, but running was often not a pleasant experience for me as I was not running races but exercising. Let me ask, have you ever been running hard and you get that like kind of stitch of pain in your side? We've experienced that. I see lots of heads nodding. It's this sharp pain you get kind of right about here. And I found this, I looked this up, why this happens. In your body you have this big muscle called the diaphragm right about here, and it controls your breathing. It expands and contracts and it inflates your lungs, and that's what brings air in and out of your body. And so when you run, this is going to get really technical, all your organs kind of bounce around, okay? They kind of bounce around, and your diaphragm is doing its very best to expand and contract to get air in and out of your lungs. And all of this together, and just kind of the pounding from running, it puts a lot of stress on that muscle, and it's connecting tissues and things like that. And so that muscle, between that stress, and that muscle can also start to spasm or cramp, things like that, just like you get a leg cramp. That sharp pain in your side that flares with every step, it comes from that stress on this diaphragm muscle and the spasms and the cramps it can have. And so you've been there before, right? That's what causes it. And I can say this happened to me often. I would start out for a run, I'd warm up, I'd get going a little faster, and I would start out jogging nice and upright, and by the end of the run, I would be like bent over and grabbing my side to try and relieve some of that pain. I would be short of breath because it made it really hard to breathe, except for very, very shallow breaths because, again, you're stressing that muscle. It was pretty miserable, but I ran anyway because I knew that that run was worth it. And Paul speaks the same way too. You know, he says, we're going to suffer. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. It's not easy to run, but at the end of the race, it will be worth it. And we know that in a way, this pain of running, it reminds us why we need, or why we run in the first place. The fact that we hurt reminds us that we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. This is what Paul says, the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. And there's a lot in that statement. There's a lot there, but what it means is this. Right now, we are subject to frustration. We are frustrated, or in fact, a better word is futility. Futility, emptiness, purposelessness, sometimes feeling uselessness. We are subject to futility and pain because right now we suffer even though it seems like we're not getting anywhere. Maybe you've had this experience. We may be running after Jesus as hard as we can, or we feel like it, but still, you know, it seems like we don't see ourselves going anywhere. We still sin in our lives. We still hurt ourselves and others. And Paul says that we are all subject to this futility in hope that we will be freed from bondage to sin and the corruption of sin, the death of sin, because this pain serves to remind us and show us and prove to us that, you know what, we can't run under our own power. We need a strength here that's not our own. We need a rescuer. And we know that Jesus came into our lives to be that rescuer. He died on the cross and rose again. He has forgiven us and reconciled us to God, our Father in heaven. He has promised us freedom from sin and death and the devil, and he will make all things new. As we're thinking about running, even when it seems futile, I found a great sort of picture of this as I was studying this week. Last year in 2017, a journalist named Mike Waterhouse did a story on what he called the final finishers of the 2017 New York City Marathon. And as you might guess from the name, these final finishers were some of the very last people to cross the marathon finish line. Remember, it's 26.2 miles in a marathon. And in their own way, these people are inspiring because even though they did not win the race and they were nowhere near it, if there was ever a race that seemed futile, it was these people's race, and yet they kept going. They started their run through New York City at about 11 a.m., and they were finishing. They didn't cross the finish line until after 7 p.m., over 8 hours later. They were running for 8 hours. And so the other marathoners in that race got to run on a closed course for their ease and for their safety. It was a nice broad avenue for them to run in. But then as the police department came by later in the day and picked up the barricades and opened the streets, these people kept running. The other marathoners in that race, they had regular water stations and cooling stations to keep them hydrated and comfortable, at least as comfortable as you can be when you're running a marathon. But long after all these water stations were packed up and the volunteers had gone home, these people were still running. All the other marathoners had huge crowds along the way to, you know, to cheer them, to encourage them, to help them keep going. But long after the crowds had gone home, these people were still running. And there were even these, you know, they call them last call buses that drive along the route from start to finish to pick up anyone who might still be on the course and to take them home. If you're just too tired to keep going, you know, they won't leave you stranded out there. They'll take you back to the finish line. And these people waved off the buses and they kept running. And they finished the race. And when they came in after 7 o'clock, they were young and they were old. They were skinny. They were big. They were running for their health. They were running for charity. They were running some just to see if they could do it. One of them crossed the finish line on a pair of crutches that she had borrowed somewhere along the way. They had overcome injuries and exhaustion and cramps and discouragement, and they made it to the finish line because they kept their eyes on the end of the race. They had come out that day to run the race all the way to the finish. In fact, one said, "Well, I bought the finisher t-shirt, and I can't waste it." They came out that day to run all the way to the end of the race, and they did it. And so for us, as we run our own races, we live our own lives as we follow Jesus, we need to keep the finish line right in front of our eyes too. And this is what Paul is doing when he says, hey, remember, we will be freed from bondage to decay. At the finish, we know we'll be brought into the glory of the children of God. At the finish, we'll see the redemption of our bodies as we're made new and as all things are made new. Because what keeps us running is hope. It's hope, the hope that Jesus will come back and make all things new, the hope that at the end of the race, all of this running will have been worth it. And Paul says, for in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. For who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Hope keeps us running. And for us as followers of Jesus, the finish line is always in sight. He's told us what it's going to be. And here's some good news for you. As we move forward, in prayer, you don't have to run this race with your own strength. Because when you're weak, we can pray. When we don't know what to do, which way to turn to follow the course, we can pray. When we need some encouragement, when we need some help, we can pray. And when we pray, God hears us and he answers. Even the psalmist, this is from Psalm 51:10, the psalmist says to God, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. He's praying, help me follow you, keep me in the race. So, pray, just like the psalmist, because we know we can't make it to the finish line on our own. Pray for God's strength. Pray for a steadfast spirit, a spirit that keeps going, that sticks close to Jesus and clings to the cross. Pray always. And even when you don't know what or how to pray in the situation you're in, because we have those times in our lives, even when we don't know how to pray, know that Jesus has given you his Holy Spirit and he lends you strength. Paul even says that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. The Holy Spirit prays on our behalf. The Holy Spirit prays for you and prays for me. How cool is that? I think that's amazing. And finally, we know one thing for sure. We know that those of us who know the Lord, we know that Jesus will be with us our whole lives through. And even though it may be hard for us, we know he will see us through to the end of our races. The end of our reading today, I think, is one of the most comforting passages in all of Scripture. And as we run our race, when things are hard, when we struggle, when we suffer, remember what Paul says here. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, and that's you, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. So just like a marathon, just like a race, we know our lives won't be easy. We're in this for the long haul. We got to keep running. And just like Jesus, we know sometimes we will suffer on account of the gospel, but we have been called. We have been justified. We have been forgiven. And we have already been glorified in Christ. And we will continue this race in prayer and forward motion to the finish line. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Or let's stand. Let's stand. We're going to continue now by confessing what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed, this creed that comes down from the ancient church and indeed connects us to all the people of God across the world in all times and places. We say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. You'll see the words on the screen, and we say together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and take a seat. We're going to continue now in our worship with our time of offering. And let me just say, if you're a guest or a visitor with us here today, we don't expect anything from you. In fact, if you're visiting, we'd like for you to receive from us. There are some bags, some gift bags on the table in the hallway. Please take one of those on your way out and let that be a gift from us to you to say thanks for joining us in worship today. Let me also say, we all have these yellow cards in our bulletins, these connection cards. Please let us know you're here. Fill it out. Put your name down. That helps us to better take care of all those people whom God has entrusted to us here at Southwest. So I'll invite the ushers forward, and we're going to continue with our offering.
Return.